Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. There are times when a woman can be overcome with a critical attitude. She will begin seeing the speck in all the eyes and the crumbs on all her floors. It can invade her soul and then her home, filling it with eggshells that everyone has now to walk on. It will fill her mind at night of all the mistakes others are making and whisper of the lack of time and energy she has to fix it all. It will even fill her so full at times that it will spill out onto her sisters and friends, reminding them of all the wrongs around them and all the fussing they're missing out on. The pictures are crooked, the baseboards are filthy, the husbands are thoughtless. These contagious whispers are to be cautioned. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Proverbs 4:23. Welcome to Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, here today with Becky McNeely and Caitlin Hutchcraft, and we are going to be talking to you about a critical attitude. Have you guys ever experienced a critical attitude before?
Speaking of critical attitude, Kate and I just exchanged a look when you said Caitlin Hutchcraft.
Yes.
Wow.
Wait a second.
I didn't even think about it. It just happened. My government.
I mean, that is my name.
My Christian name. That's funny.
I'm just joking. What was the question that you asked, though?
Have you ever fallen into a critical attitude?
Yeah.
Or is that something that you struggle with? Is it something that you resonate with? Or you're like, no, actually, I'm pretty positive most of the time. What are your guys' propensities?
I think it depends. So I feel like with some things, I can be more critical. Like Ben and I were actually talking about this last night. There have been a lot of things I've not struggled with as a Christian that I in the past have looked at other people and said, and thought to myself, like, I just don't understand how that's a struggle, though. But then seeing the plank in my own eye years later and thinking, like, wow, other people could look at my sin and think, well, why is that a struggle for you? Because it's not a struggle for me. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like with some things, I'm, like, very quick to give grace and understand. And it usually is, like, the things I've struggled with that I'm like, yes, I totally understand. Like, you're having a critical spirit towards, like, your kids or your husband, or you're really hard on yourself about X, Y, Z. But then it's like other things where I have been in the past more quick to be judgmental, and I'm aware of it more. So, but I was really, Ollie has things to say. I was really thinking about Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And just thinking about all the times I've been quick-tongued to, like, snap at my kids or to Ben, or to, like, just be snippy because they're the closest people to me. And just being repentant and really talking to Ben about that last night, and how, you know, there are things. I feel like I wasn't a patient person pre-kids, and I'm especially not a patient person post-kids. Mm. Like, I wasn't under any thought that I was patient pre-children. And I especially know that that's a sin that I am prone to after kids. Yeah. Just because it really brings to light, like, what's wrong with me? Like, what I'm prone to as a sinner. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I think it's, for me, it's easy to give grace in some circumstances and be like, yes, the Lord will cover that with grace. And, like, yes, I totally get it. But, you know, lifting others up and out of that. And then for other sins, it's easy for me to look at and be like, I just don't understand, you know. And that's my sinner's heart, too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, being critical of others.
I think it's similar for me. And I think it's similar for a lot of people where it is easier to understand those sin propensities when you have yourself struggled with it, or yeah, when you have walked through it, you know. So I think back on some of the valleys that, you know, Brandon and I have walked through in our marriage, or just me personally has walked through. And I have so much more of an understanding and a measure of grace to be like, I also struggled there. I know what that feels like. I know what that inner battle feels like. But if you don't understand what that inner battle feels like, it's really easy to say, well, you're not doing this right.
Or yes,
you're not doing this right. Or this person's not doing this. So I think it does come down to a matter of perspective. And I think that some of the fruit that comes from our trials and some of the steadfastness that's from our trials, like James tells us, of you know, when you walk through trials, you're going to grow in your faith. And some of that is just growing in humbleness.
Yeah.
And growing in recognition of who we truly are before the Lord. Because I think a critical spirit at its baseline, it stems from pride.
Absolutely. Right? I have the same thing written
down. It comes from pride.
Yeah.
That's the root of it. And so just like a critical spirit and pride go hand in hand, a gracious spirit and humility do as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have a critical spirit and not have pride at the root of it. But at the same time, in order to have an understanding, you have to be humbled first.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times in order to be humbled, you have to walk through something really difficult to be able to have a perspective for that.
Absolutely.
So
if you ever have heard someone talk about fruit sins and root sins, so a critical spirit or attitude is the fruit sin of the root of pride. I'm doing more. I can do it better. I'm smarter. I work faster. I notice more, blah, blah, blah. It's all pride. And so the repentance needed for that is, Lord, forgive me for being so prideful. I've talked on the podcast before about how I notice things. I'm very
same.
Whatever that is. I'm a noticer. And so because of that, I can be critical when others are not noticers. Like, how did you walk over this and not notice it? You know, or how did you not notice that this person needed this or that this thing was broken or whatever, and being critical of that. But I think the humility needed is remembering that God has made everybody's brain unique and everybody gifted in unique ways. And it helps us to be more gracious towards each other when we remember that. Like, this person's strength may not be noticing stuff.
Right.
But that's why God gave you that strength, so that you can do something about that. And often I have found in my life that if I find myself being really, really critical about something, then I should just take it as my cue that God may want me to do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of like continually fussing and being critical about it, like, no, just do something about it. If you notice that there's a problem in this area, then do something about it. God has given you the eyes to see what that thing is. So go ahead and do something about it. Don't just criticize this person that they didn't do something about it. They may not have even noticed.
Right.
But taking it upon yourself to be the doer.
I will say, I think you're speaking from a perspective of, like, if you see something that needs to be done, being the person to do it. I think we need to be cautious when it comes to when we see a sin propensity or something in our friend, to be cautious in how that is approached.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being like, oh, I noticed that Jordan is really struggling with this particular thing, I'm going to be the person to come over and fix that in her. Sometimes women, I mean, I'm not a man, obviously, so I don't know how men's brains work, but I think sometimes women can be nitpicky in other people really easily.
Yeah.
Where we see something that somebody else is doing wrong, like, I'm going to be the person that fixes this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than taking a second, praying about it and saying, okay, Lord, ultimately, any sanctification that happens, whether in me or in somebody else, is the work of the Holy Spirit, not the work of somebody meddling. Sometimes we need somebody to meddle, and sometimes we need somebody to come alongside us and say, hey, come out of the pit, get on solid ground with me, you know. But I think I have seen this happen among circles of women before, where one woman will notice something that somebody else is having a hard time with and then just attack it. And with that mindset of, I'm going to fix this for them, rather than coming alongside them in love and in humility and saying, hey, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
How can I be praying for you?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you're having a hard time with that I can help you with? You know, coming at it from that kind of an angle, again, with humility, not saying, oh, well, I'm going to do this so much better. But I have seen that happen before, where, you know, so I think that's something to be cautious of. If you see yourself having that lean towards a critical spirit and you see something in your sister in Christ, take a beat.
Mm-hmm.
Don't jump at it right away and say, well, this is what's going on, this is what you need to do to fix it. But take a beat, ask some questions, pray about it first, and then ask your questions, and then approach it with grace and humility, not just pounce at it.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think there's multiple veins here that we're talking about. Yeah. Criticalness of people or criticalness of simple things that need to be done, maybe.
Yeah.
Understanding that, is it a primary issue that someone's dealing with? Like, is this a blatant sin issue that needs to be discussed? Or is this like someone is not eating organic produce. You know what I mean? Like, is this a very secondary issue that you really shouldn't care about?
Low tier problem.
Yeah. That you should not be critical about at all. Right. Or maybe the way someone is parenting that you think they maybe could do a more effective job if they did something different, but really who cares? It's not your kid kind of thing.
Right.
So just being cautious to, I think, build each other up in love and striving to build each other up to good works and not cutting each other down when there's differences.
Right.
And I think also when we're catching ourselves being critical, it's really important to remember what scripture says about being in the word and renewing our mind and being rooted, because like you guys said, ultimately it comes from a place of pride. And so what that says when I am becoming prideful, or when I am having a propensity to be like, well, I wish she would do this differently, or I wish this would be what's true of our home, or I wish that this would go differently in my own life. And there are so many things we just can't control. Like, you can't control your children's sin. Like, you can't control your husband's whatever, the things that annoy you, or what have you. Just like they can't control you. So what do we need to turn to? Scripture and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And praying for our own hearts to be changed, to love the people that we're with. And like Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So if we do need to approach somebody about a sin, what better way than to start by being rooted in scripture?
Yeah.
And like, how can I approach this in love and that they receive it in love? And like you guys said, it's not always a thing that we need to approach our friend about.
Yeah.
Sometimes it really is.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, hey, you can't, not that I have any friends that are doing this, but like, if a friend did cheat on her husband,
right,
I would be like, absolutely.
This actually can't happen, but no. I'd
like,
feel critical.
You know, this is a bad choice.
Yeah.
Or I had a friend who's single and is living with her boyfriend.
Right.
Or
yes.
You know, something like that. Something where you're like, listen, This is pretty out in the open.
Yes.
And I love you, and we're gonna talk about this. And again, not coming at it from a spirit of I'm going to be the person to fix this, but coming at it from a spirit of, hey, I love you. I want you to run your race well. I want you to honor the Lord in how you're living your life, just like I would want you to want me to do that, you know? And so, but approaching it from that perspective of the Holy Spirit's waiting to be the one doing the work.
They ultimately
Lord,
changing.
Give me the words.
Yes.
Help me
yes.
mouthpiece. Help me be the instrument. Or help, let somebody else do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's okay for somebody else to help that person. You know, sometimes I have seen this play out where people almost get like a savior complex where they're like, I'm going to be the person to step in and do this.
Yeah.
And you really have to guard yourself against that, because one, pride is ultimately going to come there. And then you're placing yourself in a space where you are not ever intended to be. And that is super dangerous ground to be on. But I think one thing, I think having a critical spirit and having a complaining spirit going hand in hand.
Yeah. Yes.
Because and you have to guard yourself against that, because like you, I'm a noticer.
Mm-hmm.
I notice things that need to happen. I notice this studio
for a while.
And then finally I was like, would anyone be upset if I organized?
Right.
And nobody was.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's a difference in being a noticer like that. And then there's a difference in seeing something, wanting to fix it, and then just complaining.
Yes.
Complaining and complaining in order for somebody else to do something or for you to do it, whatever the angle is that you're coming at it from. But I think an easy way to squash a critical spirit is to replace any complaining attitudes you have.
Yes.
And actually, at our house, we just started a new rule. So we had a rule last year of no yelling,
right? Yeah.
That Brandon implemented. Well, he just implemented another rule, which has been fun and funny, but also there have been some attitudes about it. But anytime someone complains, they have to do 5 push-ups.
Oh, yeah. We do not push-ups for a harsh voice.
Yeah. So. If it's a grown-up, though, Jack thought that the grown-ups needed it.
We're bigger, so we need to hire more. I agree. 5
so,
is easy.
So it's 10 for the grown-up. So if the McNeely family looks jacked.
I know. That's gonna be... Some of our kids are getting really strong. And I was like, they were winning at some arm wrestling this past week at VBS to some opponent that they used to lose to. And I was like, it's because the harsh words rule that we did. It's like all those push-ups are really helping you get stronger.
But I think if you come at
you know, if you see how a critical spirit and complaining go hand in hand, mm-hmm. and then you squash the complaining mm-hmm. attitude, and you're like, no, I am only going to say things that will build each other up. And not from a legalistic standpoint. We're not doing this to earn salvation or anything like that. But just as a way to kill that sin and rip it out at the root, just get rid of
it. We're not allowed to complain.
No. We're going to be thankful.
Yeah.
Anytime you complain, say three things you're thankful for. Yeah. Do some push-ups.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And but be reminded that, like, grumbling is something that humanity has struggled with since the beginning of time. And it is not what God wants from us. And knowing that when we grumble, there is often consequences for that. As we look to the Israelites and how they had to wander in the desert for a very long time for their grumbling, there's often mountains that we have to continue to walk around until we learn to stop grumbling. So just knowing that, like, that I have the quote, there's nothing that you can't make worse with a bad attitude.
Yes.
Which is actually credited to Humphrey Beauregard.
Oh.
I looked it up. I was like, where did that come from? Because we say that. And I'm like, where did that come from? Which I was surprised. And I'm not really sure if that actually is where it was from. But they were like, it's credited to him, but not exactly known. But yeah, so if you have a bad attitude, anything that you're upset about is definitely going to be worse. And so if you just start being grateful, like, God, thank you for my home.
Yeah.
I thank you that I have a roof over my head, even if there's things here that annoy me about it and I am critical about or wish that we would get fixed or whatever. Thank you that we have a home. Thank you that I have children to discipline. Thank you that I have food that I have to cook again. Like, thank you that I have these things, even though there is difficulty that comes with them. That's just a part of life. It's like the difficulty is ingrained. It's a part of this.
Right.
We're not just supposed to be completely leisure creatures. It's not mm-hmm. good for us.
No. It was making me think when we were thinking about this podcast. Number one, we had a VBS song and it talked about you fill my cup and it overflows.
Yeah.
So, like, if we're looking for other things to make us not critical or to make our attitude better, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he fills our cup mm-hmm. and that's what we need to go to. And I've been writing
the abundance
down
of the heart, the mouth speaks. Like, what's coming out is an overflow.
Yes. And I think sometimes it's helpful to write down, like, what you're thankful for, like, what the Lord has blessed you with. Number one being salvation, because nothing that we've ever done has been good enough, like, and never will be. So the things that, like, you guys have been sanctified in and are ahead of me in, or vice versa for all, like, all of us are doing, quote unquote, better in some areas. And in other areas we have yet to be sanctified in, and it's for his purposes. Mm-hmm. So, like, who knows why, but for our specific families and our time period and what have you, like, I'm not sanctified in certain things that the Lord has not seen fit to sanctify me in yet. I'm still learning. And in other things, the things that I in the past have been more self-righteous about, the Lord has already brought me to a place of, like, I'm not that I'm sanctified in those areas, but I am.
Eve Grant.
He has grown me in them. Yeah. And then there was something else, but I don't remember what it was. So
anyway. I think one thing that's helpful when if you see a sister struggling or a friend struggling and you want to come alongside them, before you come alongside come alongside and fan the flame of whatever they're doing that you see is that is going on. Because mm-hmm. she may already know that that's a struggle for her. She may not be as blinded as you might think she is.
Mm-hmm.
She might already recognize it and feel beat down by it.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing that's been really encouraging to me is when people come alongside, because sometimes you can get tunnel vision on your own where you're like, gosh, why am I still struggling with this? Why is this still a thorn in my flesh? Why am I still battling this? And to have somebody come alongside and notice that you have strawberries growing over here because
mm-hmm.
you're so focused on the weeds, you know,
absolutely.
To be like, hey, look, did you see you're growing roses?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that you're doing a really great job over here? Did you see, you know, there for a while we had a child where it was just a very intensive, different kind of season. And we heard a lot of negative things. And then a month or so after things had kind of lightened a little bit, somebody came alongside and was like, this kid did a great job at this. And I just cried.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are really quick to notice the difficult
mm-hmm.
and they're really quick to notice the obvious things. They don't see, they're not in your home all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see the discipline that's happened. They don't see the conversations that have happened or anything like that. But they might see the outburst that happens in front of, you know, 150 people. But really, really convenient times, you know,
in front of 150 people.
But they don't see that day in, day out.
Yeah.
They don't know your heart. They don't know your husband's heart, things like that. But if you see fruit in your friend's child or in your friend, be somebody, instead of being quick to point out where they're wrong, be quick to point out, like, hey, your kid was so thoughtful, or your child did this, or I see you. You wrote actually a really very sweet card to me after VBS, and nobody was critical about VBS. I'm not saying that, but it's easy for me to see. Like, as we were on our drive after VBS, and I was telling Brandon, I was like, next year I want to do this differently, and I think I want to do this differently. And he's like, hey, just bask in the week for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, just take a minute and step back and be like, Lord, thank you for a great week.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jordan wrote me a very sweet card. And in it, you said, you know, the Lord saw it all. The Lord saw all of it. Not everybody knows all the moments that lead up to it and all the work and the hours and all that. But the Lord saw it all. And it was just you know, and so any criticalness of my own spirit, or if anybody else had anything critical, you know, it kind of all washed away, because it was just, oh, yeah, the Lord did see that.
Yeah.
And so just an encouragement to you, if you have had people be critical to you and you feel beaten down, the Lord knows your heart.
Yes.
The Lord knows your home. He knows your husband. He knows your kids. He knows you. And he knows you better than anybody else does. And coming to know him as your father, a whole other sidetrack that I could go on, but coming to know him as your father, he knows you better than anybody else, knows your family, and you can take comfort knowing that he is doing a good work in you.
And
so even if you're in a time where you're like, I feel like a bug under a microscope, everybody's only seeing all of the bad things, the Lord sees the good too.
Yeah.
And he's growing that good and helping you root out the bad, but he's growing that good too.
Yeah. There has been seasons in my life that, you know, you have a person in your life that is critical of something that you're doing. And I mean, it's, if you're a pastor, a family, or a pastor's family or whatever, it's very common. So just knowing, I struggled for a while with a certain person, and just trying to be like, it's okay, it's all right. I'm going to like try to do it. You know, I'll try to please and try to make it smooth and everything. And it was like obsessing my brain to the point that one day driving, it just hit me like, wait, why do I care? Why do I care?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, why do I care? And then it was like this totally freeing moment that God just used to completely take it out of my brain, because I couldn't stop thinking about it until it was like, wait, I actually don't care. Like, God is the one that I am here to please. Mm-hmm. And I know what we're doing. And I know, like, my conscience is clear before God. And just a moment of complete freedom when you realize nothing that I'm doing is here to please man. Like,
right.
I'm here to please God. And I don't fear man, I fear God. And it doesn't matter what someone thinks of you or says of you or your family or your children. Like, you know what happens behind closed doors, and you know your heart, and you can be free because of that.
Yeah.
I think, too, this is a little bit of a side note, but it's just always side note. But I was thinking, too, like, when we're talking about friendships and critical spirits and all that, making sure that we're not allowing our friend group to be really critical, like when we're all together.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Our kids are like, not that like the people I'm around do this, but I'm just thinking of the really critical people that I've been around throughout my like young adult and adult years. Of like, you can tell when you're around a really critical person that just really loves to like ruminate in all the things that are wrong with their life and all the things that are wrong with their kids and their husband and whatever. And it is such a drag on your spirit, on you, because you know it's wrong. Like, you know that it's it just feels empty and it feels like fruitless. And I'm not here saying like, if there's your friend is going through a really hard time and they need advice, there's a time and a place for that.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying like cut your friend off if they're going through a hard time. But what I am saying is make sure that you're not surrounding yourself with people whose main goal is to be critical.
Yeah, right.
And if I'm, again, not saying cutting off a friendship, but guard your family, guard your kids, guard your marriage, because that is your main, those are the little disciples you're raising. And who your kids are around matters.
Yeah.
So if they constantly see... Yes.
Ollie is saying amen and amen. To insert one little thing that goes along with what you're saying, I think that it can be a propensity to be entertained. Like, this is what we do. This is our entertainment when we are together. It's our humor or whatever, is to be critical of the things, like,
say what you've noticed about this circumstance and what you can be critical about it, or, right, you know, and just be cautious to not fall into that, because, like, grow a bigger humor than that. Like,
be more interesting.
Yes, be more interesting.
Be an interesting person.
Yeah. Like, well, let that not be the thing that you have to talk about. And that's why I think it's so important what you said earlier about being in the Word. Like, if you are in the Word, if you're in good books, then you have things to talk about.
Oh, yes. We should all read Emma M. Lyon.
Okay, guys, if we have something
not
to
do. Not that this is the books episode, but we are all three deep, deep, deep into Emma M. Lyon.
It has become all of our texting personality.
It's to the point where Jordan and I have engaged in a black market swap of books where I hope no one...
We have a scheme.
I hope no one who works at our local library, but I just pre-ordered or, like, requested all of the Emma M. Lyon books because they take forever to come in. I did it, like, back in January. And then as I get them, Jordan's like a book. Well, now you're two books ahead of me. But
I quickly read it.
She quickly reads it and then passes it back to Becky. Me.
All before it's due back.
Yep. Yep. We have a system. And then Kate is over here rocking the audiobooks. So if you say you can't read, you can. Because Kate has two little people and just listens to the audiobooks.
Yeah. Which she let me borrow on my very long drive back from Florida and probably saved my life.
And
I was so entertained.
So you guys have a black market.
I am involved in multiple black market book teams right now. But read good books. And be in God's word and do be, like, an interesting person.
Yes.
Talk about other things.
Find hobbies together.
Things that you can observe.
You know what you can talk about too? Like you said, you can talk about the word.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys are, if everybody's in scripture, you can talk about, hey, I just read this. Can you believe that JL did this? Or
which is why I love Bible reading plans and churches do together, which we're starting back in September. That is starting back. And I think I'm going to hop back on. I took a couple years off from it just because it's a lot. And I'm like, okay, I feel ready to hop back in. But I just love doing it together because then you can talk about it. Mm-hmm. Casey and I did a little one for VBS week that was on Psalm 23 and Libby. And it was just fun to get to chat about it. Like, hey, did you read? And we did. When we met up in the hallway, we chatted about what we had read in the plan.
And all three of you have very different lives.
Yeah.
Very different personalities. But that is regardless of, well, we have a different personality or we have different interests or we have different. If you are all reading the Bible, you all have something, the most important thing in common, and you automatically have something to talk about and bond over and you know, so if you're looking for a way to kind of restructure some critical spirits or complaining and gossip, that's another thing that's been really, I actually added that to our podcast list, but another thing that I've been thinking about a lot, but if you're in circles where that is just, like Kate said, ruminating, that's a really good gross word for it.
Bad marinade. If you're in the middle of a bad stew of friendship.
Oh, the imagery that just went in my mind.
But if you you be the friend that perks that stew into something beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, you be the person that says, I'm sorry, a shoe doesn't belong in stew.
Yeah.
And
dump that out. Here's a fresh pot.
Let's do something new. And you can be the awkward person in the conversation that just abruptly changes the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is important. If you're going to be in close community with people, you have to not be afraid to be the awkward person that with a smile changes the subject or says, that's not okay.
Yeah.
And you laugh it off, but you also address this is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And just being okay with doing that, because that's what a friend does. Like,
right.
we don't let each other bring the entire community into sin.
Yeah. Right. You read part of this earlier, Kate. Ephesians 4:29-32. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You cannot do those things while being critical of your friends, while being critical of everybody around you, and complaining about the things that everybody's doing wrong or the things that are going wrong in your life. You can't, those two things cannot coincide.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do those things and be obedient to the scripture. Gracious words are like the honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs 16:24. So build people up. Say the things that are helpful. Say the things that are encouraging. If you truly feel like there is sin that needs to be called out, come at it from a perspective of, I am no better than you. Like, right. My righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. No one does good, not even one. Mm-hmm. None of us is fit for the kingdom. Christ is the one that does all the work. The Holy Spirit does all the work, you know. But come at it from a perspective of humility and love, not, I see what you're doing.
I'm really going to see all the sin in your doing.
I'm going to fix you, you know. But come at it with that kind of perspective and approach, or just pray about it for a minute. Mm-hmm. First, yeah. And let the Holy Spirit guide that. And sometimes there have been times where I've prayed about stuff because I'm like, I don't know. Do I say something? Do I not say something? Mm-hmm. And then that person comes up to me and is like, hey, I need to talk to you. Mm-hmm. I'm really having a hard time here. And then you can say, okay, let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, but maybe just pray that the Holy Spirit will bring that person to acknowledgement. And if it's your job, or if he has tasked you, if that's part of the good works he has prepared for you to help that person and come alongside them, then the Holy Spirit will make that clear too.
Yeah.
But
I think marriage is another area that it's very easy to be critical of your spouse. So just being cautious in marriage of like the work that you do in the home as a wife and a mom, you shouldn't be keeping accounts and then lining it up with the work that your spouse is doing and saying like, are we equal here? Did you work this many hours today? Because I did. Were you awake this many hours? Because I was. So just being cautious to just be grateful for what your spouse is doing for the family and knowing that a husband has a weight on him that we will never understand as wives, the weight of provision and protection and all the things that a husband is called to as a godly man. That is a huge weight that you don't understand.
Right.
And you as a wife and a mom have a weight also, but just not comparing. It's very important to just don't be critical and don't compare. We know a couple and their motto for their marriage was outdo one another in service, which is a paraphrase of Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. But like having the approach of, I want to do more for you than what you've done for me. And because I love you, I want to pour out more for you. And I think that's a great approach rather than trying to like have the scales out.
Right.
But just my job is to, I want to outdo everyone in service.
And I think even if your spouse is not, because sometimes you can have that perspective of like, I'm going to outdo them and I'm going to just love them even more, you know. But sometimes our husbands are going through seasons that we know very little about.
Yeah.
And there might be, like, there have been some seasons where Brandon has just, he's been really down and has had a really difficult time, but I did not know all of the burdens that he was carrying. I didn't know all of the things that he was trying to figure out or that he was struggling with or things like that, because he wanted to protect me from that. And he was like, I'm going to carry this. This worry is mine to carry. This worry is not yours to carry. He wanted me to be faithful in the things that I had in front of me, which was caring for the kids. And then we had some outside worries that were coming in. And so he was shouldering way more than I realized until after we got out of that season. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I had no idea that this was so heavy and so burdensome for you to carry. And looking back in that season, I was coming at it from a place of, he is not paying attention to me.
He is not
hugging me as much as I want him to. Or he is not noticing the fact that I mopped the floors today. Or he is not, you know. And I was critical of him, but little did I know what was going on. And because he's an introvert, he processes things internally. And then he'll talk to me about it afterwards. But he has to figure it all out first. And then he talks to me about it, you know. And so after I looked back on that, I was like, you know what? I was wrong. I was wrong there to be so critical and harsh in my own mind. Even if it didn't come out of my mouth, I was harsh in my mind. And that was sinful of me. And I should have just covered it with grace, let love cover it, and just say, okay, you know what? Even if he's not showing me the amount of affection I want, or even if he's not, you know, paying attention to the little things that I want him to pay attention to, I'm still just going to, like, lavish him with love. And go above and beyond and think about, what can I do to love him? What can I do to take something off of his plate today? Or like, chocolate chip cookies are his favorite. If I make chocolate chip cookies, his day's made, you know. he's not a difficult guy to please. He's really not. Just make cookies and he's happy. But, or just thoughtful things like, if I know that he doesn't like salmon, I'm not going to make that for dinner.
That's not interesting.
You know, even though I love it, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make him a favorite dinner, or I'm going to, you know. So it's really easy to be critical of your spouse, but especially when it comes to husbands, you don't know. You don't know what they're, you may or may not know what they're going through, because they might be sheltering you from worry or
you know, other things. So,
and again, remembering the humility piece of like, there are seasons that you can do very little and you will be so grateful for a husband that is willing to do whatever.
Right.
And then seasons that he might be able to do little, and just being grateful, like whatever season you're in, Lord, thank you that you have enabled us to do what we have in front of us.
Right.
And just like thinking of postpartum seasons for me, because I've had C-sections every time. So it's just like I'm very useless to the world. Like other than nursing a baby, that's like what I accomplish in all of my days. And so just being thankful for Jared, just that he, in certain seasons that have been really difficult, has done everything.
Yeah.
And then in other seasons, I have been able to take care of him. And just knowing that, like, you will not outdo God in his service
right.
to you. So, like, again, you are serving the Lord in what you're doing. So what you do in the home is a service to God, who has ultimately given you all things. So
and thinking heavenward and thinking about when we are in different seasons, when our kids have moved out, when we're empty nesters, when we are a Titus 2 woman, what we're cultivating now, if you don't change the trajectory of your sinful thoughts or sinful patterns, you're going to be, and not like speaking to anyone specifically, but we could all have the potential to be a bitter, cranky old woman that nobody wants to be around, nobody wants to learn from, because there's nothing to learn.
Yeah.
Like we all, I'm sure, have been around quote unquote Christian women who you think, where is the fruit?
Mm-hmm.
You are so bitter. And yes, there are things that, you know, bad things happen, but Ben's adopted great grandma, she was like an extra. She helped deliver Ben's grandpa. She was really old when I met her. She was 101 and she was the most joyful lady. She did everything. She exercised in her home. She baked. She cooked. She had great, great grandkids. And she would be like, well, one of them ran toward the road and I had to grab him and spank him. Like 100 years old, you know?
Amazing.
And it was Josephine, and she was the brightest light for Jesus. Just the sweetest. And what, never complained, but you know, at 100, you're probably a little achy.
Right.
She told me she got frostbite as a child going back and forth to school, and she had barely been able to feel her feet for 95 years, had horrible neuropathy, terrible pain, and I had to like coax it out of her because she would never complain, ever. She always wanted to know what we were doing, what was going on in our lives. She would talk about the birds and how grateful she was that the Lord woke her up to see another day, and just... like, I cried when she passed, and I felt like I barely knew her in comparison to my own grandparents, who were great in their own right. But she was the most joyful 104-year-old when she died. She had a 100th birthday party, had like 60 people there.
That's awesome.
Like, just so many people that loved her. And I tell Ben every once in a while when we talk about her, I want to be Josephine.
Yeah.
I want to be, if I'm in pain at 100, I want to still be a joy.
Yes.
I want to not be a critical, bitter old woman who lost her husband 30 years ago, which maybe been, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But she had lost her husband over 30 years prior and lived alone with joy.
Yeah.
And so I just think about, I want to be a Josephine. I want to be a non-critical, joyful, elderly woman.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to be a non-critical, joyful young woman who has a lot of kids and tired and like a lot to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just whatever season that you're in, you can change.
Yes.
If you are struggling with being a critical spirit or not being joyful, like even if you're just not a joyful person and you're just like overwhelmed and stressed, and like God can change that in you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to continue on that trajectory. And you can make a decision today like, no, actually, I'm going to be softer. I'm going to be a person that is softer and kinder and smiles more and does kind things for people and doesn't care about stupid small stuff. And through the Holy Spirit, you can change. So,
Yep.
That might be it. Is that all you guys have?
I think so.
All right. That is it for today. Thank you for listening.